All right, let's jump in the hot tub time machine, and we're going back to 2005. All right, most of you were probably just graduating from diapers to like pull-ups. But I was over in Italy. I was in Rome. I was in my third year of theology, studying at the North American College, and we were coming up, it was March, and we were coming up on Easter. And every other year at the seminary, we were able to travel. So me and a buddy, who's a priest in Pittsburgh now, we were both seminarians then, we traveled to do part of the Camino de Santiago. Have you ever heard of that? Do you know what that is? The great pilgrimage route in Spain. And so Santiago de Compostela is where St. James, Santiago, right? St. James is buried. James the Apostle, the brother of John the Evangelist. So he's buried there. And in the Middle Ages, it became the main pilgrimage site in Europe once the Holy Land fell to the Muslims. So tradition, you know, century after century of people journeying to that spot. And we're like, man, we got to do some of it. We couldn't do the whole thing. The whole thing takes like 35 days, but we had a few days. So we jumped on a 45 euro Ryanair flight from Rome to Santander. And then we said, all right, let's do this. We're going to walk. We're going to walk. And we were doing, there's different routes that go through Spain to get you to Compostela. And the one we were doing was the Via del Norte, the northern route, right? So it goes on the north part. And the more famous one, the more known one is the Via Francese, the French route. But we chose to do the northern route because the northern route was more rugged, more adventuresome. Because the French route, I mean, that's soft. It's French, right? It's going to be soft. No, and it really is kind of like it's this big highway with a ton of people, but the northern route really is rugged, and you just learn a ton on pilgrimage like that. So you learn simplicity, because in the first 2 days, my pack, I just made it about 7 pounds lighter. I just opened up everything I thought I needed. I'm like, I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't need that. So I just dumped a bunch of stuff, gave it away, right? It's like, I'm not doing that because I'm going light, and that's a great spiritual lesson. Because we should walk this earthly pilgrimage lightly, right? You learn to trust, right? Because that northern route, there's times where you, this is 2005, you know, you didn't have your GPS Garmins, right? You couldn't wayfind your route through with a smartphone. So we had to trust. I didn't have a cell phone. We didn't have cell phones, right? Because you had to get an American one and it didn't work in Europe. And so we're just on our own out there. And there are times where the trail splits and you don't know where the heck you're going, right? And what you're looking for is not this big signpost. It's usually some spray-painted yellow arrow, right? On a tree stump, on a rock, or on like a rusting out door to a van. And when you see that yellow arrow, you're like, yes, right? Because you know you're on the right path. But you also have to learn to rely on providence, and the Lord provides. Like sometimes we got lost, and things happened when we got lost, and other things happened because we got lost that were way better than if we hadn't gotten lost. And I could tell you those stories, but it would make what might be a long homily even longer. So I'll spare you those, okay? But here's the deal. Here was the challenge. This was the challenge for us, was that neither of us were priests, and it was Holy Week. And we're like, we have to try to find masses, right? So we'd come into a village and there's churches everywhere. I mean, it's Catholic Spain, right? But they didn't have enough priests, just as America is starting to feel. And so you'd get to a church and mass would only be on Sunday, right? Or it's only Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and we were there on a Tuesday. And so no mass, right? And so we're going through and we're praying our Liturgy of the Hours, we're praying with the readings and the Magnificat, and we're doing the best we can. But we start to get into the Triduum because it's Holy Week. Like, okay, Holy Thursday, we gotta find Mass. So we hike all day, get to a place, and it turns out that the place that's supposed to have Mass, right, the priest, is 17 kilometers, 8 miles up the road, which would be nothing if we had a car. It was a great distance on foot, and so we missed Holy Thursday Mass. Couldn't receive Jesus in the Eucharist on the day that he instituted the Eucharist. Good Friday, we couldn't get to a place that had services, so we didn't get to pray that. I mean, we prayed the Station of the Cross as we walked, right? We were in silence when Jesus died on the cross at 3 p.m., and we made the best of it, but we decided, we're like, we have to get to the Easter Vigil. It's not an option, right? Because we were missing being with the Lord. maybe some of what you felt in the pandemic when we got shut down, right? Just absolutely feeling that, like, this is hard. I want to be with the Lord and I can't, right? So we're like, all right, we have two choices. Either we go back to a bigger city. We're in this place called Bamonde, this little village. And what happens is you get a credential when you're a pilgrim, right? And then you can stay in these, they call them albergues, right? For the pilgrims. And you can stay one night and then you move on to the next place. Well, we're in this little village. We're like, we saw that this church was definitely having an Easter Vigil Mass, you know, 10 kilometers back. We could backtrack and go to the Easter Vigil, or we could push forward and get to a place called Sobrado dos Monjes, which had a monastery that was active. We're like, they're definitely going to have the Easter Vigil. That monastery, by the way, this is how you get the feel of Spain and what it's like to be on pilgrimage there. That monastery was founded in 950, not 1950, 950, by the Benedictines. Now, it had been taken over by some new clients, the Cistercians, the Trappists. They moved into that place in 1142. So we're talking like almost 900 years of the Trappists being there. So we're like, all right, we're going there because they're going to have Mass. It's going to be awesome. So we go, right? We're like, all right, that's our decision. We make the decision. It's 40 kilometers away. So roughly 25 miles or so. Challenge and the problem was that on Good Friday, it was raining. And it was raining hard. Take the wind that we had the last couple days and add a bunch of rain. And that's what was happening. And so we're like, man, that's going to be difficult. Difícil in Spanish. That means difficult. And so we decided, let's see how it is in the morning when we wake up. Maybe the Lord will give us a clear day. It won't be rainy and we can walk. Well, we wake up. We're going to do an early alpine start kind of because we have a long ways to walk. And it wasn't just flat either. It was up and down. So it was hard. We wake up. It is pouring rain. Not just like kind of raining, pouring rain. So we're like, okay, let's go back to sleep. So we slept for another hour and a half. Wake up. It's like, it's not raining. Like it's super overcast, but it's not raining. And we wait for a little bit, and like, it's still not raining. Let's do this. Let's give this a shot. Let's go. So we decide to go. We have an hour of clear weather. And then, about 5 kilometers into a 40-kilometer day, the heavens open. And the wind howls. It's not just a storm. It is bad, bad. And we're like, should we go back? And we're like, no, it might clear up. We're dumb, right? It might clear up. Let's just keep going. So we decide to keep going. And it's freezing, right? So cold, rain, wind, right? We were probably at one point borderline hypothermic. And I don't know what happens to you, but like, I don't have a whole lot of natural insulation, okay? And so what happens to me is I get cold, right? And I can handle the cold, like, you know, shivering and all that stuff. But I don't know if this happens to you, but my hands stop functioning. Does that ever happen to anybody? Right? So like, And specifically, like, my ability to use my thumbs. Like, there's just no strength when it gets really cold, right? So we're pulling over, hiding out under some trees. Let's get some food. We had in our packs, I'd call, they were really good, actually, but they were kind of like the Spanish version of a Slim Jim, right? It was chorizo, but it had been wrapped in cellophane, and it was delicious and nutritious. I'm sitting there trying to open that stinking thing, and I can't do it because my thumbs don't work. And so my buddy is like, dude, let me help you with that. So he opens it up. We're laughing, right? And then I'm like, I've been hydrating, right? And I'm like, I gotta go to the bathroom. And then my thumbs don't work. And I'm sitting there like, I can't get the button on my pants undone. And you think it's funny, but you try to do that with no thumbs. Right? It's not so stinking easy. So my buddy's like, dude, I'm not going to help you with that, man. You're going to have to figure that one out on your own. Either figure it out or, you know, we're getting wet all day long anyway. So, you know, just figure you're in like a lake or something, but I'm not helping you. Right? So I figured it out. Crisis averted, right? Made it. But we keep on going, right? Listen, the last 3 hours were probably the physically most difficult thing I'd ever done, right? Physically. It was just awful. Wind, rain, we're soaked. I mean, my jacket no longer works. Rain jacket, it's not holding out the water, right? my boots are completely and utterly waterlogged, completely. So every step is squish, and they're heavy, right? So everything, my inner thighs are chafing, right? Because my pants are so wet, and it was just horrible. And what we're doing is we're like, okay, who gets this next decade of the rosary? And we'd think of somebody who was really suffering. So people back home, there was one person who had cancer, another person struggling with depression. We're like, all right, this next decade is for that person. And we just kept going, kind of head down, keep on going, keep on going. Well, eventually we get there. We get to the monastery, right? There's a monk at the door who opens and looks at us like we're crazy, because it had been storming all day. And he's like, peregrinos, pilgrims? And we're like, sí. He's like, de donde? And we say, Bamonde. Like, de donde? Where are you from? Where? And I said, Bamonde. And he's like, hoy? Today? We're like, sí. He's like, oh, Madre de Dios, right? Mother of God. He jumps up and he grabs us, right? Takes our backpacks, puts them in the corner, is like, come with me. And he takes us into this place where the pilgrims stay. And we're the only people there because nobody in their right mind would have been traveling on a day like that. And he points us to the showers, right? And we're like, oh gosh, yes. So a half hour later, after one of the best showers of my life, warmed up, come back out. And what happens? He has tea for us. And then he starts asking questions like, what are you doing out on a day like this? He's speaking in Spanish, we're answering in Italian. And he finds out we're seminarians and that we made a choice to make the walk because we wanted to be at the Easter Vigil tonight. And he smiled, nodded his head, and he told us when it was, right? Best Mass ever. Easter Vigil is the best Mass ever, right? But that one was the best of the best Masses ever, because they had all the, you know, you start in darkness and they have candles, not the rinky-dink candles we have around here, right? Big candles, like that big, and everyone gets to hold one, all right? And I'm just like, oh, I love this. This candle is keeping me warm and it's bright and cool, right? Beautiful chanting from the monks, the prayers, the readings, the liturgy, and then we receive our Lord. What a gift to receive our Lord after hungering for him. Because sometimes absence makes the heart grow fonder, and we desperately wanted to receive him. We knew our need and we knew our desire. And so we received. And then the monks invite everybody to celebrate. All the lay people there, including us, the monks. We break out dessert, right? And some after dinner Spanish liqueurs, and we celebrate Easter, resurrection, right? So then we go to bed, right? We're happy, content, warm. And the way it works in the pilgrimage is that you just grab your stuff for the next day and then go on to the next place because you're on pilgrimage, you're on the way. Well, we're packing up our stuff, thankful, happy, like we got Mass, it's Easter Sunday, praise the Lord. And the monk comes into where we're staying and he looks at us and he shakes his head. He's like, no. He goes, you stay. And we're like, oh. And then he goes, venga. Come here. And so we follow him, and he takes us into the monastery, and then through the places where pilgrims were allowed, and then into the back where all the monks were, who are just sitting down for their Easter feast. And he said, so he introduces us, and all the monks start laughing at us, because I'm sure they told stories about these idiot seminarians who walked 40 kilometers in a freaking biblical flood, right, to get to Easter Vigil. And there's places for us, and so we sit down, and then the food comes. One dish after another, breads, cheeses, meats. It's like the reading that we heard, the finest of fine foods, the choicest of wines, oh yeah, right? And then dessert, and then after dinner, dessert wines, and all these things, and we're just sitting there like, could it get any better? And another thing comes out. Could it get any better? And another thing comes out, and they keep bringing it over to us first. And we're like, oh, I couldn't possibly. Oh, yes, by the way, yes, bring that on. I'll have another helping, right? And it was just feast. Because the Cistercians, they fast hard, but they feast harder. And it was a feast after Lent, and we got invited right into that. Well, brothers and sisters, it was a beautiful experience of what the resurrection offers to us. But the whole thing, the whole journey, is a beautiful indication of the Christian life. Because we were on pilgrimage. And we are on pilgrimage. We were hungry. Not just for food. We were hungry for the Lord. We chose the tougher path and persevered in it. You know, we could have gone back 10 kilometers to a very easy place to get to. But we pushed forward and through the tough stuff. And then the Lord opened to us blessings and gifts beyond what we could have possibly imagined. That's the life that we live. Okay? This Mass tonight, this banquet that the Lord will set for us is so much better than anything that we had in Spain on Easter of 2005. It's better than any meal you've ever had or ever will have. Because the Lord gives the choicest of choice foods, the finest of fine wines. He gives himself to us as food and drink, his body and his blood. He gives himself to us, and that feeds our souls. And our souls need that food. We can't live without Jesus. We cannot be the people we're called to be without the Lord. And so he provides for us. And that gift of himself changes everything, because it's not just nice thing. It's not just one thing among many. It's the food that changes us into what we consume, that his divine life comes into us. And then because of that, we live. And not just live in this life, but live forever. First reading, as we're invited to the mountain where this feast is, the prophet says, on this mountain, the Lord will destroy the veil that veils all peoples, the web that is woven over all nations. He will destroy death forever. That's what we receive when we come to Mass. I don't know if we know that. Sometimes it takes an experience like what I had in Spain to wake up the human heart to this reality. I don't know what experience you need to have to wake you up to this reality. But the truth is this, we're on pilgrimage. Do you know that? You're not meant to live here forever. You're meant to travel light in this life, because your real home isn't here. Your real home's with God in heaven. And so we walk in this life with purpose. Hopefully we have the hunger that me and my friend Father Joe felt. Hopefully for the Lord, that our souls are hungry. You know, a danger in this culture is that we can try to fill our soul with junk food. It's easy to get, and it's usually just what we want. Except it's not what we need. Spiritual junk food all around us. But we shouldn't prefer that. In fact, we should step away from that and allow God to provide us with the food that we need on his terms and in his way. It's what the church gives us, not just in the Eucharist through the sacrament, but also in her teaching. It's not so easy, the teaching of the church, to follow. It challenges us. It's different than the culture. Our culture is all about affirming everything. If you want it, it must be good. The church says no. Not every desire leads to a good outcome. Not every desire should be followed. Not every desire is properly ordered. So the church speaks against certain desires to form us and to free us so that we can receive what we actually need. To do that, we have to be tough. So this pilgrimage, this life, you have to be tough, and you have to persevere. Sometimes you have to put your head down in the wind and the rain and just keep going. And that's necessary, because if we give up, then we can never, ever receive the fullness of what the Lord wants. We get a taste of it here. He gives us strength here, And then he waits for us and invites us to continue to trust him, to continue to go forward so that we can reach him, our true home in heaven. He waits for us. He also walks with us. He actually is the strength that allows us to keep persevering. That's why it's such a great thing that you come to Mass. What a banquet the Lord gives us. It's not just gifts. It's him. Not just gifts that God gives. It's him, the giver of the gifts. That's who we receive tonight. What a blessing and what a privilege. Brothers and sisters, the feast is ready. Let's not miss out.